most incredible word in the Word of God is justification. Justification. Do you know what that means? Some of you have that look on your face and said, "Preacher, I didn't even know that was in the Bible." Well, I'm here to help to inform you that it is in the Word of God. And let's go over here to the book of Job. Yes, and you may stand. Job, if you would, 25. Job 25. Notice with me verse number 4. The Bible says, "How then can a man be justified with God? Or how can a man be clean that he is born of a woman?" Let's look at it again. "How then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that he is born of a woman?" I ask you this morning, folks, is God our judge? And we say, amen. Yes? God is our judge. God is the judge. God is the one we get to answer to. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Let's look to the Lord in a brief word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given. Give me, I pray thee, the words to say. To this I pray and ask that you'd receive all the glory, and Lord, that from the message that the folks would hear now, they would be open and receptive to your word and be able to understand what you're sharing. And we'll ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This thing about being justified, justified with God. All that really, really, really should matter is how God sees you and how your relationship is with the Lord. When that's right, everything else is where it's supposed to be. When that is right, everything else is where it's supposed to be. Somebody asked me to summarize what the Christian life really is all about after everything is all said and done. My answer is, find God and hang on. Find God and hang on. Why? Because He's the only one that's going to always be there all the time. Amen. Do you have any idea what it means to be saved? Now, I know I'm talking to most of you who are saved, and if you're not saved here this morning, got good news for you. You can be before you leave. And hey, guess what? Even church members can get saved. I preached a meeting a few years ago, and the head deacon got saved. I mean, they couldn't even wait for the revival to get over with. He got baptized that same Sunday morning. Wow, was that ever big. He got saved. His wife was the piano player, and she was in tears through the whole thing. What a joy that was. And so I'm saying to you, if you're sitting here with a question mark in your own mind, heart, and soul, if you don't know for the fact that you're a born-again child of God, listen, you need to take care of that before you leave here today. You need to take care of it here and now. You need to be saved. But this word, justification, is so big. It is so huge. What happens when a man gets saved? He sees his sin. Yes. He has to know that he's a sinner first. There's all kinds of sinners out there. That's why we've got people going to the Amish to show them they're in sin and need to be set free. I want to show you another passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Please, if you turn there in the Word of God, in the Bible that you have, This is something you need to get a hold of. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we'll go to verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Let every man in the same calling wherein he was called, abide wherein he was calling." Let me read that again, I got that all messed up. "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called, being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made," and say the word, "free." Use it, rather. "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's" what? "Freeman." "Likewise, also he that is called, being" what? "Free, is Christ's servant." What we need today is freemen. We need people who are free to say, "Yes, Lord." They have no strings attached. They have nothing that keeps them from saying, "Here am I, Lord, do with me what you will. Let a missions conference come. Let the pastor pass the piece of paper. Let me put down what God would impress on my heart, because I am a freeman. I am free to say yes when God speaks." That doesn't happen in every pew, in every church. Because there are a lot of God's people saved on their way to heaven and are not freemen. Why? Because of whatever they allow into their lives, whatever issues that are there that exist, sin, mindsets, attitudes. You all came with an attitude today. What condition is it in? I mean, wouldn't you feel uncomfortable if you came up here and we all checked on your condition of your attitude? And we get to decide what shape it's in? I mean, look, we came with a countenance. It's what everybody sees. And it ought to be something that glorifies God. Like talking about there in the book of Psalms, that our countenance needs to be healthy. I mean, do people look at you when they see you, do they see a healthy countenance? Or do they see you and begin to feel sorry for you? I mean, people can read us because we take and present to the world something the world can read. Are we happy? What about that impossible verse over there in Philippians 4:4? I call it impossible because it says, "Rejoice in the Lord." How often? You ever met anybody like that? You ever see anybody walking around rejoicing in the Lord? Always. That one word just seems to put a damper on it. You know what I mean? I mean, we can rejoice in the Lord sometimes, once in a while, and a good portion of the time, but hey, always? Really? I mean, we don't even feel like rejoicing in the Lord always. Some of us fake it once in a while. But we don't even feel like it. You want to know why that is? Because we're not freemen. We're not free to enjoy what God has blessed us with. Say, did you read that verse in the Bible where it says that God daily loads us with benefits? Did you see that verse in there? If you've ever seen that verse, raise your hand. I'll let you. You're kidding. Can we get any more hands? Those of you to raise your hand, put up the other one. We need a few more hands. The Word of God says He daily loadeth us with benefits. Now, hey, when God puts on a load, it's a load, my friend. So let me ask you, have you checked out your load today? You're starting to concern me now. I mean, look, we've got all these blessings that God has blessed us with. I mean, watch what happens now. We get to confess our sins. When we got saved, we get to confess our sins. We say to the Lord, we're sinners, and God forgive us of our sin. And guess what He does? Yeah, I'll just take you through the motions on this. So, without your permission, I decided to write some of your sins down. How did I know what they were? Wouldn't you like to know? So I wrote them down. You can't really read them out; they're all in code. But I'm just trying to help you to know. I mean, that your heart is black and it's ugly when it's mixed with sin. But what happens when you get saved? Here's what God gives you in place of it. All the sin's gone. Now hold on, it's bigger than that. All I got was just an amen, preacher. That was all I got. What I should have been able to get is everybody standing on their chair and screaming, "Hallelujah, amen!" But get this now. Here's where the word justification comes in. It now means just as if you had never sinned. I got a few more amens. A few more. I preached this in one church one time. And this man, he got it. Out of the congregation, the nerve of the man, he said, "Yahoo!" He got it! Do you realize what that means? It's about the fact that God looks at you as if you had never sinned. Some of you are getting it, I think. Had never sinned. One Bible college professor went on to say, he said, and take it just a step further, is just as if you never would sin. Some of you are almost wanting to do it, but you're scared because you might draw attention to yourself. But this is the message that our message missionaries, I'll get it out, are trying to take to the people who are still in darkness. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, we ought to be able to get excited about being saved, and we get excited about being saved. We want to send somebody out there to tell those folks how to get out of darkness. What's it going to take for me to reach the lost world? This missions conference says reach deep and trust God. And trust God. Because the dollar you send to reach those people who are in lost, dark places, I'm telling you, they simply, literally, they will be a blessing to you. Because you get these missionary letters and you get these reports and you get the outreach, and I see them on the board. Just simply reaching the people that are still in darkness, thousands upon thousands are still lost, and they're going to live in hell forever and ever and ever. Hell will be their permanent home. I have a daddy who's there today. I have a daddy who believed that hell was on earth, and he never got saved. Heard me preach a few times. My daddy was an alcoholic all of his life. I had to think about the few times I could ever remember him being sober. That's a whole other story and a whole other testimony. It's fairly lengthy. Doesn't apply to the message this morning because I don't have the time. I just need to impress you upon this important fact that God needs freemen. Notice if you'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. In the book of 1 John, chapter 3, go to verse number 20, if you would, please. You know, I would just speak to your mindset and mentality. Those of you who are saved, you know, we remember things, don't we? There's just things that are hard to forget. You say that you're saved, then you think about all the things that you've been saved from, all those sins that you've ever committed. I mean, you've got one dark past, brother. One dark past. Sounds scary. Now, some of us take a little bit of pride in that, isn't it? You want to know what I got saved from? Let me tell you. Well, maybe you shouldn't tell me. Maybe we don't need to reminisce. Maybe we just need to count our blessing for today and forget about the ugly old past and rejoice in the present here and now. Because the fact of the matter is, when God sees you now, He doesn't even see your past. It's just as if you had never sinned. I don't think we still get that. It's about digesting and meditating what God is really trying to tell us. I mean to say to you, brother and sister, when we got saved, we got thoroughly, thoroughly saved. Through and through. It is all gone. But hey, we've got a memory. Oh, boy, do we have a memory. Here it is in verse number 20. It says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." I'm telling you, we don't have as many freemen as ought to be in the Word of God, in the house of God, in the work of God. Because we got too many of God's people condemning themselves. They say, "Yeah, preacher, I'm telling you what, you can't count on me. You should see the past that God saved me from." Preacher's not interested in your past. He's interested in the here and now. He's interested in what God has done with you now. Hey, I did some checking. I pastored for almost 28 years, and I can't keep looking at the same faces all the time. They get to keep looking at the same face all the time, too. Looking at me. And so I said to my folks, I said, "Look, we need to find a way to look alive. We need to find a way to look like we're still living. Like the lights are still on. Like there's somebody home. Like there's somebody that's glad that we're living and existing on planet Earth. I mean, we just can't give up on life and just wait for Jesus to take us home to be with the Lord in heaven. We need to enjoy life in the here and now." I have so much to say in no time to say it. But I have to impress this upon you. It's like one man said to another man, he said, "You know, my wife, she's always historical." He said, "Oh, you mean hysterical?" "No, I mean historical. She's always bringing up the past." Yeah. You know, you try to forget your past, but you've got somebody around that's trying to remind you have one. Right? But hey, you know, God wants to do great things with you in your heart, your life, your soul. But there's so few of God's people that do, because they just feel that now they're saved, and God's happy if they just come to church and sit on a nice padded chair. God's not happy with just that. As I said in the Sunday school hour, we are stewards. We are held responsible, and a steward is required to be found faithful. That's the will of God for our life. And say, so I looked at my folks and I said, now look, we all need to find out what in the world God did with our sins. I mean, if they're so big, bad, and ugly, and now they're all gone, where in the world did He put them? Did you ever go to checking that out? No, I guess not. I saved you the effort. I checked for you. So I found four places that God put your sins. Really, preacher? Yeah. First one's over here in Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. I will try to make this as brief as it's a toughie, but I'll do what I can. Micah chapter 7. I mean, you all are enjoying being here at the moment, aren't you? Micah chapter 7. Notice this. It says here in verse 18, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnants of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever." And we say, amen, right? Wow. "Because what? He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the..." Wow. The where? "The depths of the sea, where no man has gone before." That's where your sins are. It's in a place where you can't go. They're all gone. Yes. I mean, you're set free. That's why when God talks about our salvation, it seems like He's making a bigger deal out of it than what we are. I mean, aren't you impressed with the idea that all of heaven's angels rejoice when one sinner cometh to the Lord, when one sinner repenteth? Angels don't even know what it's like to be saved. Why should they get caught rejoicing more than we who are experiencing salvation? Just because we live in the north doesn't mean we can't get excited. Them folks down there in the south, they think they're way ahead of us. They just sure act like they're ahead of us. You know about it down there in Georgia, right? Yeah. Them is some happy folks down there. But hey, where did your sins go? Oh, I checked another place over here in Hebrews chapter 10. Look it over here with me. Hebrews chapter 10. This is really big. I mean, this is awfully special. Here it is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 17. Here the Word of God says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." So how about this? How about this? You go to God and you say, "Lord, do you remember sin number 798 that I committed?" And the Lord said, "Is that one you've already confessed?" Now that was back last July. The Lord says, "If you already confessed and I don't even remember it, it is all gone. It's not even on God's mind. You won't find it in the records anywhere." Some of you are still leaning back there and saying, "Keep on preaching." I figured by now you might be on the edge of your seat just wanting to kind of stand up and just say, Hallelujah. Our salvation really is a big deal. God said it's a miracle. He said it's great. I wonder if that's why the rest of the world isn't coming and getting saved, because they just don't see the excitement. It's just wherever it's at, it's sure not here. This is something to get excited about. God doesn't remember any sins you've ever committed before with you've confessed to Him. He doesn't remember any of them. They're all gone, they're all gone, they're all gone. They're all gone, they're all gone. It is just as if you had never sinned. How would that help you to walk in the next day of your life? Walk around as though you had never sinned. I mean, you've got it all cleared with God. It's all gone. This is the message we have to share with a lost and dying world. This is why we have missions conferences. It's why we have missionaries. It's why our brother you're going to hear tonight is a happy man. Because he's no longer in the darkness of the Amish religion. He's set free. Amen. Set free. And we need to live like we're freemen. This dignified stuff, that only goes so far, folks. Okay? Only goes so far until finally you look like you couldn't enjoy a thing. If there ought to be happy people in this world, it ought to be us, right? It ought to be us. It ought to be us. And I really need to. It was 11:45, huh? Oh. Let me just give you the two references here. Isaiah 38:17. Where the Word of God says that He has cast all our sins behind His back. All our sins behind His back. And then Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Brethren, they're forgiven. They're totally gone as if they had never existed. Oh, but hey, you remember. Because you don't forget. Look, why don't you quit forgetting and just enjoy your salvation like God's enjoying your salvation? Why should He enjoy it all? You're the one that got saved! We need freemen. Freemen that'll enjoy your God as much as your pastor does. And I'm just inviting you to take an opportunity to just simply come unglued from where you're at, riveted in the spot where you're at, and ask the Lord that you might enjoy, that He might restore unto you the joy of your salvation. Amen. Shall we bow our heads? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's looking around. How many of you are saved and on your way to heaven? Hold your hand up. Just put it there. Don't put it down. Keep it there. Keep it there. Keep it there. Let me look. Let me look. Let me look. What a tremendous, tremendous testimony. Praise the Lord. You may put your hands down everywhere. I saw hands. But there may be somebody here this morning. You don't know, you don't know, you don't know for sure that if you'd die that you'd go to heaven, but you'd say, Preacher, pray for me. You'd raise your hand. You're just not sure. Anyone like that at all? Let me pray for you that you might be saved. Is there somebody here you don't know 100% sure if you'd die that you'd go to heaven? Would you raise your hands? Who? Who would raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Stick it up nice and high so I can see where it's at. Anyone at all? How many of you heard the message this morning as a child of God and you say, "Preacher, God got a hold of my heart and He spoke to me and I want to make changes according to what I heard. I want to be what God wants me to be and I want to enjoy my salvation the way God wants me to do. I want to be a freeman. Preacher, pray for me. Would you raise your hand?" Yes and yes and yes, yes and yes and yes. Yes, yes, and yes, I see those hands. You may put them down. Are there others? Preacher, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. I need prayer. Is there yet another? You'd raise your hand. Didn't raise it before, but you know you need to. Let me pray for you. Raise it nice and high so I can see you. Who else? Who else? Preacher, pray for me. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you for all that you give, all that you do and say. Help us, Lord, now to receive unto ourselves, Lord, the very promises you've given. Help us to take advantage of them. Help us, Lord, to make the most of this life that we have. And the sin that now holds us down, help us to confess it. Help us, Lord, to be set free from it. Help us to live our lives free and above reproach. Help us, Lord, to eliminate and confess and to simply give to you all that's in our life that shouldn't be. And I ask now that you'd help those who said, "Preacher, pray for me." O God of heaven, help them to leave here a different and a blessed and a very special and joyous person today. Bless now, I pray, in this invitation as we look to you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Please stand. As the pianist plays, here's an